You are listening to Women's Running Stories, where exceptional women runners share inspirational stories about their running experiences.
I feel like I'm in a really good spot, and mentally I'm in a really good spot. I mean, in the last couple of years, I thought a lot about stopping. I thought, I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. I feel like I'm kind of torturing myself just thinking that I can get back, and I'm not going to be the same athlete that I once was. And one of my old teammates on Little Wing Squad said that, and this stuck with me, that thank you, Carrie Mack, that comparison is the thief of joy. And I think even comparison to yourself and a past self can also be the thief of joy. So I'm trying not to think about what Rebecca in 2021 did and think about what Rebecca in 2024 is capable of. And that feels exciting. Well, hello. My name is Rebecca Mera. I'm a professional middle distance runner for Wazelle and Little Wing Athletics, my club. I am also a public policy professional and enthusiast and a cat mom.
Yes, in this episode, you are going to hear from professional track runner and Olympic hopeful, Rebecca Mera. With a particular focus on where she was at coming into 2021, what has happened over the past couple years that's made her question her commitment to professional running, and why Rebecca Mera of 2024 is excited once again about what's possible in her racing career. But before we hear more from Rebecca, I want to welcome you to Women's Running Stories. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am your host and producer. And this podcast is a proud member of the Evergreen Network of Podcasts. I also want to mention up top here, before we get into Rebecca's story, that if you are in the Boston area over Boston Marathon weekend, I welcome you to join me and my two friends, Julie and Lisa, of the Run Farther and Faster podcast, because we are going to be hosting an event once again at the Boston Marathon Expo on the live stage. That will happen on Sunday, April 14th, the day before the marathon, at 2 p.m. And we are thrilled to have three incredible runners on our panel, which is focused around making a statement, breaking barriers in women's running. We're going to be in conversation with elite marathoners Kelly Bruno, Ari Hendricks, and Bree Bomer. So please come join us. That's on the live stage at the Boston Marathon Expo, Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. It is going to be a fantastic conversation. All right, now let's get into Rebecca Mera's story. A few things to know before we get going here. Rebecca Mera is a graduate of Stanford University. She raced for the Stanford team, which is a powerhouse running school, and graduated in 2017. The very next year, she became a member of the All-Women's Little Wings Athletic Club, the elite team sponsored by Wazelle. And you know I love Wazelle, the apparel company rooted in running, made for women and by women. And indeed, they did help facilitate this episode. So thank you, Wazelle. Now, to note, Wazelle is located in Seattle, Washington, but when Rebecca Mera joined Little Wings, the team was training in Bend, Oregon, and they trained under former professional runner Lauren Fleshman, who had a distinctive health and fun first approach to training and racing. As Rebecca noted,
there was a thing that our team said, which was, if it's not fun, we're not doing it. And I really think she lived by that, and she made us feel that way every time we came to practice. Like, we are here to support each other and we're here to enjoy ourselves and like get the most out of ourselves that we can.
Fleshman's approach is so distinctive, in fact, that there's a New York Times article focused on her coaching. And Lauren Fleshman is also the author of the exceptional book, Good for a Girl, A Woman Running in a Man's World. Something else to know before we get into Rebecca's story is that she's going to mention various track events. There's the Prefontaine Classic, also referred to as the Pre. There's the Portland Track Festival, Sound Running, USA's, which is the USA Championships. the trials, meaning the Olympic trials, which are coming up this June, and she will mention the premier international series, the Diamond League. In addition, she mentions Dempsey, which is the indoor track at the University of Washington in Seattle. So yeah, Rebecca Mira is a track racer. She races both indoor and outdoor track, and she specializes in the middle distances of the 800 and 1500 meters. And as you'll hear her mention, sometimes Rebecca serves as a pacer, and that is the person who sets the pace for a particular race, but they don't really have any intentions of finishing. This is to help other runners reach their racing goals. All right, well, let's get to it. Let's hear about Rebecca Mira's running career over the last few years, and she is going to start off at the point in time where she was transitioning from her collegiate career to the Little Wings team. Here to tell her story is Rebecca Mira.
You know, 2019 to 2021, despite the beginning of the pandemic, were a real whirlwind for me. I moved to Bend, Oregon. I guess I'm backing up a little bit more, but I moved to Bend, Oregon in 2018 to work with Lauren Fleshman as my coach and to join the Little Wing Athletics team. And it was kind of a dream come true that first season in 2019. I made a U.S. Championships final in the 800, an event I'd never run before. I stood on the podium of the Fifth Avenue Mile. I went to Europe to race for the first time. I didn't lose a race there. And, you know, I kind of continued to have this awesome progress through even the few kind of COVID races I ran in 2020. I still managed to kind of PR and have a good time there and as much as I could. And then 2021, I, you know, had a great season. I raced five times at the Olympic trials. I was in the final of the 1500. And, you know, to stand on the starting line of a trials final and know you have a shot to make a team, like, it's really a special moment. I had a great summer. I got to race in Diamond Leagues for the first time. I got to travel all around Europe. And ultimately, I won a meet or a race at the pre-classic at the end of the summer. And I kind of just felt on top of the world. My team in Bend kind of dispersed at the end of that season. Lauren had stopped coaching, took a step back. And so then I had to make kind of a big change, and I decided to kind of bet on Wazelle and bet on part of a system that had worked for me and move to Seattle. And so, you know, from there, that's where my 2021 ended.
Rebecca was riding high. She was in the best shape of her life, and she was racing with confidence and getting results nationally and internationally. And people were taking notice that Rebecca Mira's star was on the rise. But then things began to shift.
I feel almost a little silly trying to list the injuries and the sicknesses I've had over the last couple of years, because there have just been so many frustrating roadblocks. I guess I was in really good shape in the fall of 21. I ran a road 5K PR, ran really well at a road 5K in Memphis. And then I went to go run my first indoor meet of the season at the Dempsey. I won the 3K, which was really not my favorite event, but I was very excited with myself. I went back to pace the mile and I pulled my hamstring, which turned out to be like an 8-week injury. Like, I was able to jog after a couple of weeks, but I certainly couldn't work out for a while, and I certainly could not run fast on it. So that was kind of the first of the series of unfortunate events, I guess I'll say. Because I kind of came back. I went to training camp that spring. I was starting to get in really good shape. And I got COVID. And I didn't know that I had COVID. I just kind of felt like a little off and sick, and then realized a lot of people around me had gotten sick too. And I don't know if it was just the strain at the time, bad luck, or trying to run through it when I didn't know I had it. But it really kind of put me in a bad spot. Come time May, June, trying to race Portland Track Festival and race before USA's, I just didn't feel like myself at all. I felt actually really lucky that there was a whole community of athletes that also were struggling with some long COVID problems. And so I felt really supported by that, actually, you know, that I wasn't alone. So then I kind of ended my season there after USA's because I needed to recover. Took some time. I visited family out of the country. I coached at a high school running camp, which was really fun. I kind of just needed to reconnect back to why I love the sport. So I came back in 2022 fall to train for 2023 season. And I had a little bit of a foot issue, which was frustrating, some post-tib problems, which is something I think a lot of runners have dealt with at various times. So I was a little hard through the fall. But then I went to Australia, which was amazing, like trip of a lifetime. I went and I raced and trained, and I was starting to build my confidence back. I was struggling. I had a really bad 800 race, which I'm even hesitant to talk about, but I ran 207 in my first 800. And I thought, wow, I'm just never going to be myself again. But I did work myself back and I felt good. I actually felt really great going into season last year. And I got tripped up in a race at the very beginning of May, a sound running meet. And I had so much adrenaline. I thought I was okay. And then realized my hip was pretty injured. And I ran on an injured hip the rest of May and tried to race. And, you know, like when your body's not 100% and you try to compete on it, it's really not the best. But I tried and later realized I had a labral tear in my hip, which I was really nervous would not be something that I could get to go away on its own. Like the term surgery was thrown around and PRP and lots of time off. And so I took a few weeks off and I thought, okay, I'll cross train. Maybe I can still kind of qualify for USAs. And then I got COVID really bad the week before USAs again. And that one, like I was really sick. Like the second day I had it, I passed out going to the bathroom and I had almost 105 fever, like nearly needed to go to the hospital. It was bad. So yeah, I was like, okay, well, I think this is just a sign. I'm not only dealing with a hip injury, but now I've just gotten really sick. I think I just need to end my season again. And that was right before USAs. So it was, you know, really frustrating. And again, like I spent the rest of my summer, which was meant to be like the time in which I get to reap the rewards of working hard all year and get to race and have fun and run fast. And I was again, like all of July, I was not running. Actually, I did a lot of walking, I live close to Green Lake. So it's a really nice walking running loop here in Seattle. And I would go walk and try to get tan and listen to audiobooks. Actually, my favorite one, probably favorite memoir I've read in a long time is Huma Abedin's Both And. If you need a book recommendation, it was amazing. But then yeah, I kind of built myself back up. I got married in October. I just had a lot of life stuff going on. And started kind of writing my own training in the last like 6 months and got myself back to a good place. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at now.
Rebecca has worked herself back to a healthy state. And it's been a process full of questioning, reflection, learning, and determination.
I had a lot of really bad days. In fact, you know, over summer of 22 and summer of last year, I thought maybe I should stop running. Like I should stop trying to do this on an elite level. This is my body and the universe trying to tell me this is not for me anymore. So I took, both summers in different ways, like I took a lot of time away from running in the sport. I mean, I physically could not run for 2 months this past summer, which was more than the previous summer. And so I thought I'm just going to turn my focus to other things. And this past summer, the big distraction was planning my wedding. So that was helpful just to have other life things going on. But I think the biggest thing, and I've actually talked about this a lot, I coach high school. So I've talked about it with my high school kids. And then also, you know, with other groups of middle school and high schoolers and college athletes is I journal. I keep an injury journal, which sounds rather depressing, but it's a really great tool to one, like just get your thoughts on paper. And two, be able to kind of track your progress and be able to, you know, if you're having a frustrating day, be able to read back on what you did a month ago and go, wow, like I made progress. And I think it's very human to want to make progress really quickly or want to be back to quote unquote where you used to be or who you used to be. And I think that is a really, or has been a really good tool for me to stay in the present and also be grateful for the little kind of baby steps. So yeah, my injury journal. And then yeah, just honestly giving myself space, like doing other things. I spent a lot of the last couple of summers like going to, you know, friends and family weddings. And I went to a high school running camp. And, you know, this past summer I went to, my grandmother wasn't doing well, and I went to Switzerland. I spent a couple weeks there and where she lived. And yeah, I think just being able to turn off my track brain can help heal your track brain quite a lot. I think without sounding too cheesy, like being grateful is really important. Being grateful for all the days that my body's healthy and allows me to do things that even often the last couple of years I couldn't do, like sprint and run fast and, you know, even just kind of going for an easy jog. Like I'm not taking that for granted. And I think something else I realized I really needed to do was change my process. Track and field is inherently results oriented. Like we all think about how fast we're running, how fast we need to run to qualify for trials, how fast we need to run the Olympic standard, etc. And it's all measured by numbers. And I think it's so easy to get really focused on the times and the numbers. And I really needed to bring myself back to being process oriented and enjoying what I'm doing every day. And knowing that, you know, clearly in the last couple of years, I couldn't really choose or determine what the result was going to be in the end. But I knew that I could make changes to make the day to day more enjoyable, that even if, you know, catastrophe hits in the 11th hour and I can't run at the trials or, you know, whatever, I can't qualify, whatever happens, I made the choices to enjoy what I was doing on a daily basis. So I'm in like a different training situation than I was in the last couple of years. And there were a lot of amazing pieces to my training situation prior to this. And I had a lot of freedom and, you know, I got to do things like go to Australia, but also I realized I needed team again. I needed to like feel like I had purpose in helping other people also with their journey. And yeah, I think the best part of the sport for me and, you know, now the couple of decades that I've been in it are the people and the human connection. So I wanted to really make sure that I put that on a pedestal. Yeah, so did change up my kind of coaching and training situation over the last few months. Bob and Sarah Lesko, who were coaching kind of under Lauren, were coaching me in the last couple years, and they are like family to me. I love them so much. Like Bob officiated my husband Jordan's wedding in October. Like that's how much they mean to me. But I knew I just needed to optimize like training with people. Like that was how I was going to want to stay in the sport and I could feel excited to go to practice again. So I'm actually training with the Beast team here in Seattle. And this is a very new thing, but Danny Mackey is coaching me. He's the coach of that team.
Yes, Rebecca has entered 2024 with a whole new training setup. She's now being coached by Danny Mackey and training with the Beast's athletic team, which means she's got a whole new slate of incredible training partners, including 2023 National 800-meter champion Nia Akins, 5,000-meter runner Ali Bukowski, and steeplechaser Katie DeLay, two-time Olympian in the 1500 for Portugal, Marta Penn Friedisch, and young pro and fellow Stanford grad, Julia Hamick. For Rebecca, it's been a lot of change, and it's been going great.
It's a totally new training system. I've only been in it for really like weeks, although I've been working out with the team kind of since November on and off. And yeah, it's been really great. And like, I'm surrounded by greatness, literally. Like Nia just ran and I felt amazing that I got to help her to this, but it's not going to be ratified because it was on a larger track, but she just broke the American record in Tours in the 800. She ran 158.20 and I paced her, and my other two teammates that are 5K runners just ran like 15.03 and 15.05 in the 5K this past weekend. And I've gotten to do this special kind of go between and run a workout or two with Nia, run a workout or two with Ali Bukowski and Kaylee DeLay. And then there are two other fabulous 1500 runners on the team that I've gotten to do a lot of my workouts with too. And that's Marta Penn Friedisch and Julia Hamack. Yeah, it's amazing getting to surround yourself and train with people who are better than you and who make you better. I think even back when I was in high school, I decided to go to Stanford because I knew I'd be surrounded with people who were better than me and who could lift me up. And I have continued to feel like that is very real through my experiences on different teams. And I think maybe across the board, people have realized like training with other good people, even if you're going to get your butt kicked at practice sometimes, will make you race better, will like make you a better athlete ultimately. So that's exactly how I felt over the years. And there was aspects to training alone, or kind of mostly training solo, because I did my best to kind of match up with other athletes and friends that were also kind of doing more of the lone wolf thing, that were really positive. Like, I knew the workouts were written just for me, and I knew that this was like the perfect thing that I should be doing. And if I had like a little bit of a little injury or something that was bugging me, it was no big deal to move the workout a day, because it's not like a team was meeting and the coach would have to meet me in another day. Like, there were definitely aspects of training alone, or training mostly alone, because I did train a lot around the University of Washington and again, a couple of other like professional running friends, but that, you know, were helpful. But ultimately, I think being pushed by others, I have found, just makes me better, makes me more confident, makes me a better athlete. I mean, it makes me want to come to practice. It makes me excited to see people. Like, yeah. And, you know, we're all competitive. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, we show up and we want to, like, you know, run the workout, or like, you know, sometimes you do want to beat someone on an interval, but like, ultimately we're all competitive, and if we weren't competitive, we wouldn't be professional athletes. So, you know, but that butt kicking that you'll either be served sometimes or you'll serve to others, well, you know, makes everyone better for it. And like, if it weren't for them, I would not have been able to do a lot of the workouts that I did, especially over the last 6 weeks. Like, really hard workouts by yourself are even harder because you're by yourself, and just having others around you who are like in the hurt locker and doing the workout. And, you know, we get to trade who's leading the intervals. Like, that makes a huge, huge difference. So it's just so nice to have training partners again, and just be inspired by people's performances and know that like, it's possible for me because I'm in the same training system. And it's different than what I'm used to, but in a lot of good ways. Like, the team does a lot of plyos and a lot of drills and things that I did somewhat with Lauren, but I just haven't really done in a few years. And I think they help me a lot with my form, which easily breaks down, especially at the end of a race. But also like with my speed and agility, it makes me feel like I'm a better athlete. So I think all the new changes in the gym and drills, and then even like sprinting, like I sprint a whole lot more than I have in the last couple of years, which is to remind my body, like, I can do this at the end of a race. So I'm excited to see how it can all come together, come outdoors.
Yeah.
I'm going to run a combination of 800s and 1500s this outdoor season. At least that's my plan. I'm going to see where I land. I'm hoping to qualify for the trials in both events. I'm not sure that I'll run both events, but I'm definitely open to it. I saw in the trials, Olympic trials calendar, that the 800 this year is before the 15. I'm probably a better 1500 runner than 800 runner, but I'm open to anything really. And I had such an amazing experience running both events at the trials 3 years ago that I'd be open to doing it again if I can qualify. But yeah, I mean, I'm on the road back to health and back to fitness. And I definitely am in a spot where, like, you know, 3 years ago, I already had my qualifying time going into the season. And like, I have that on my head right now, that in my shoulders, I guess I should say, that I need to go qualify. But I know I can do it. I'm going to race a little bit more than maybe most people would through kind of April, May, June, in order to make sure I do that. But that's my plan. I'm planning to open at Brian Clay in mid-April.
Yes. So Rebecca is going to start her outdoor season at the Brian Clay Invitational Track Meet, which takes place April 12th through the 14th in Southern California. This will begin her first order of business, meeting the qualifying times so that she can race at the upcoming Olympic trials happening at the end of June in Eugene, Oregon. And indeed, she will focus on the 800 and the 1500 meter events, which each offer up their own unique attributes.
They are different, but definitely related. I think a lot of people like to say that the 800 is the hardest event, if not one of the hardest events in track and field. I think the longer distance the event, the harder that it is, because you have more time to think. Like in an 800, you basically have time to make one decision, and it's at 300 to go when people start to fall apart and someone's moving and other people are moving backwards, it's to make the decision to move forward, or really to just kind of continue to run the pace you're running. Because you don't really, most people don't run faster than the last 300 of an 800. They just keep their pace. So yeah, I've always thought that the 800, it stings, and it stings pretty immediately. Like, you're sprinting the entire time, but there's not a lot of time to mentally check out, and you have to be super on mentally the whole time. But I'm not bothered by that. It's only 2 minutes. I think the 1500, I have found over so many years of running it, I've run so many more 15s than 8s. Like, I think I still have a lot to learn in the 800, to be honest. I really only started running it after college, and 2019 was the first time I ran an outdoor 800 in years, maybe even since high school. So the 1500, it's kind of like an old friend slash an old foe. It just depends on the day. But you do have to mentally check in for a lot longer. Like, I do find, especially the first couple of the year, you have to remind yourself every 100 meters after like 600 or 700 into the race that, like, you can do this, and to keep, you know, stay with the pack. And I think there's a lot more patience in the 1500 that you need to have, because you need to really wait for the right time to go. And there's a lot more 1500 races I've been in where people kind of bide their time and then kick in the last 200, and you have to, like, be ready to go, but also weather the pain in the interim of whatever pace you're running. So yeah, I'd say that, you know, they're similar but different. I don't know which one I like better. I think in some ways I enjoy racing 800s more, because I feel like I have so much more to learn and so much, you know, more to go in the 800. But I do find I like to run a combination of the two, because, you know, they make me better at the other event. Like, running an 800 and running so fast makes the first 600 of a 1500 feel so slow the next time you run it, because in comparison. And vice versa, like, being able to have, you know, such strong mental fortitude in the third lap of a 1500, like, makes the last 300 of an 800 feel like, you know, this is not a big deal.
Rebecca Mira is ready to go into 2024 with renewed health and fitness, a new coach, new training partners, and the wisdom she has gained over the past 2 years.
I think a long time ago I realized all you can really control are your effort and your attitude. And so that's what I do. And oftentimes, like, you know, for whatever reason, it's your fitness or something else happens in the race. Like, you can't control everything, and that's just how it is. Sometimes you get stepped on and, like, you rip your spike open and you need to go to urgent care afterwards to get your foot looked at. And then sometimes it'll all come together when you put in the effort and give yourself a shot. And, like, that's what, you know, I'm doing this for, is to see, like, you know, one day it's going to click. And I know that happens because it's happened for me many times. And yes, not a whole lot in the last 2 years, but I still have faith that, like, that can happen and it is possible. And I've seen, like, flecks of kind of greatness and success again in the last, like, few weeks, especially. So I'm excited. I mean, it's a really special thing when everything comes together. It's, like, addicting to feel the excitement of, like, I worked my butt off and I kept showing up even when it wasn't good. And then one day it's great. And then another day it's great. And that is kind of both the heartbreaking and the very exciting thing about track and field. So I'm still in it. I'm still in it to see if there are those great days. And I think that there can be. I think that I can run PRs, and I think I can make it back to a trials final and give myself a shot to make a team. And I guess maybe I wouldn't be doing that if I felt like that wasn't possible anymore. Like, your motivation and your confidence has to be there. My confidence was worn down quite a lot over the last couple of years, but I kind of slowly put the building blocks back together just by, you know, running a little bit more, doing more workouts. I feel like I gain a lot of confidence from training with others. And I also have a really great therapist, which I should never, that's just been so helpful. I've been seeing her since 2020. So she kind of knows me and has seen the good and seen the bad. And I think, yeah, that's so helpful too, to have a good mental health professional in your life to help you through the bad. So I made a concerted choice, and I've continued to make concerted choices to want to be in the sport, to want to train hard, to want to see what I can get out of my body. And it's been important to me to give myself a shot every time. And I approach every race with the same kind of intention to give myself a shot to have the best day possible. And I go back to the effort and attitude thing. Like, that's all I can control. And so if I do that every time, sometimes it's going to be bad. A lot of times it's going to be okay. And sometimes it's going to be magic. And that's why you continue to kind of put in the effort, because, you know, the magic day could happen, or even a great day can happen. It doesn't have to even be magical, just because you've continued to show up every day and be consistent. And yeah, that's what I'm doing.
That is what Rebecca Mira is doing, and I, for one, am excited to cheer her on as we all look ahead toward the Olympic trials coming up this summer. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for coming on the podcast and sharing your story and your wisdom. I have been wanting to have Rebecca Mira on the podcast for a long time, and the stars finally aligned to make that happen. And I know you, like me, will want to keep up with Rebecca Mira, and I will provide links of how you can do that in the show notes. I'm also going to link to Wazzell, Rebecca's sponsor, and an apparel brand that I know and love. And I do want to mention, they did help make this episode possible, and I want to give a special thank you to Justine Fedronic, Anna DeLucci, and Hannah Calvert. In the show notes, I will also include links to the memoir Rebecca mentioned, Yes And, by Huma Abedin, and I will link to the New York Times article about Lauren Fleshman's approach to coaching, as well as Fleshman's award-winning book, Good for a Girl, which I highly recommend. It's a good one. And that does bring us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I always appreciate you being here. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am the host and producer of Women's Running Stories. And until next Friday, I do wish you resilient, healthy, joyful strides forward. Women's Running. Women's Running Stories.
Hear Her Sports is a podcast for everyone who loves stories by and about women striving to improve and make a difference in their lives. I am your host, Elizabeth Emery, a former professional cyclist. In every episode, I introduce a female athlete or woman in the business of sport through a thoughtful conversation about who they are and the terrific work they're doing. My guests and I explore the glorious and frustrating issues in sports, history, equity, training, nutrition, and so much more. Join us for inspiration, for community, and for love of being a strong athletic woman.